Good day, this is Shane Hasty for the InfoQ Culture Podcast. We're here at Agile 2017, and I'm sitting down with Ken McDonald and Heather Milan-Maines. Welcome. Ken, you and I obviously know each other. I suspect the audience probably doesn't know you too well, and Heather, we've just met for the first time today. So briefly, would you introduce yourselves?
My name's Heather Milan-Maines. I live in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm a practicing business analyst and have a lot of interest in our topic we're presenting on and how we can ask questions to glean more information from those we're helping.
My name is Ken McDonald. I am a product person helping other product people deliver powerful products. Mm-hmm. I practice that craft as content curator for Agile Alliance. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to do the talk we're doing tomorrow as a different way of getting to the real need apart from incessantly asking why.
Mm. And your talk is on Socratic questioning. What's that?
So there was a Greek teacher and philosopher named Socrates. Mm-hmm. That one of the ways that he approached helping people to learn was to engage them in a dialogue where he would ask them questions. Mm-hmm. And he would get the folks that he was teaching to answer, and by doing so, kind of reason through and come up with the answers themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's an approach to learning that a lot of people use because it really helps to cement the ideas that you're getting at into people's heads. So I found that using it to help to understand the real need that you're trying to satisfy is useful because oftentimes, as a practicing business analyst also, I would often get approached to do something, and it was often approached in terms of, here's something that we want to have done, so bringing a solution to it. And so by engaging in this Socratic dialogue, you actually get the folks that are asking for something to actually walk back to what their real need is, and then once you get there, they have a better understanding of that themselves than they did to start off with.
Mm-hmm. And this is instead of why.
Exactly. Or just going ahead with whatever it is they asked for in the first place.
Or not even asking. I know what they want. Yeah, we've seen all sorts of requirements from that perspective. So how does this work?
So effectively, someone will come up to you and say, hey, we'd like to redo the commission system, as an example. And so in the talk tomorrow, we'll actually walk through a series of questions to get people to gradually walk backwards in far as understanding, okay, so we understand that you want to do the commission system, but let's get a better understanding of why is it that you want to necessarily do that. And the inspiration was actually from a line of questioning that a contractor uses to get a better understanding of the projects that his clients want him to do so he can have a better basis on which to effectively price them. Mm-hmm. But it also works great for this approach. So you start off by actually having them say, well, what is the project all about? And they usually will talk about some sort of solution. And then you say, you might even start off by asking, well, what problem is it that you're trying to solve? Because sometimes people don't realize that they haven't necessarily phrased it in terms of a question or a problem. Mm-hmm. And then you get into talking about, well, when is it that you first noticed you had this problem? And what is the nature of this problem? What's the impact of that onto your organization? And in a line of questions that way, so not only do you help them to understand or help them to kind of voice what is it we're really trying to solve, but also get to why and make sure you understand it, if it is actually a problem worth solving.
Yeah, I think in my practice, it's quite common that you're given an order and we want you to fill the order when in fact they don't even understand what the problem exactly is. Mm-hmm. And that this line of questioning and conversation style helps them realize that they need to get better about even understanding their own business. Mm-hmm. And it's very effective because they are coming to that solution without you telling them. You might know already that it's a bad idea. You might know that that's not an effective solution. Telling them that is not going to help you have a better relationship and create a better solution. So the questions really lend themselves to learning.
So what are some of these questions? How does this play out?
So there's an interesting way of looking at it. And so I should also say that this approach can be used for things other than understanding the real need of a project as well. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons I thought it was good or we thought it was good for this conference, is that it can also be a great way for a coach to help coach their team. Mm-hmm. But there's six categories of questions, and some of them among it are even getting a little bit meta. So, for example, some of the questions are, why do you think I asked you that question? To help to kind of walk back why necessarily you're going down those routes. Other things along the lines of trying to understand what are some of the assumptions that we're trying to validate, helping to get people to think from different perspectives.
Yeah, I think that perspective and viewpoint is a really important aspect. I know I've been on several different projects that have a very particular viewpoint when in fact it's the wrong viewpoint. And those projects end up in a large, one of them I can think of is an $18 million write-off because they had a perspective of an underwriter when they needed to have the perspective of the agent. So the ideas are really important to ask and walk through in a very specific way as you ask, you know, how would this look for this role at your company? What risks do you see from a particular viewpoint? So switching that lens makes a very powerful conversation because oftentimes people in our businesses will think in their own tunnel, their own silo, and they don't see the picture across the business unit. So this questioning can help drive that out.
So how would this complement some of the other agile or things in the product space, such as design thinking, for instance?
This particular approach, the way we like to look at it, is it's a route of going where you know there a problem exists and it's been expressed in one way, but you need to get clarity on it, as opposed to something, say, like customer discovery, which is very popular in the lean startup world, where you're not even sure if there's a problem out there. So this is much more about getting clarity and understanding about what the problem really is so that you can make sure you're hitting it with the more finely tuned solution. Another aspect of what we're talking about tomorrow is bringing in some of those good habits that come from elicitation that are very commonly talked about in the business analysis community.
So what are some of those good habits?
There are a lot of great habits to have. We're going to focus on six different kinds of considerations. One of them is listening. I think we often mistake our role to be the talker. And these questions will lend themselves to people telling stories and asking about how do you see this problem? How does that affect your day? And a story will lend itself to more information than you could get by a specific interview question anytime. So that's one.
Another one that is always good is the when you're approaching an interview situation, you certainly want to have some idea of what you're going to ask. But you don't want to be stuck with that list and not roam around and say, hey, I heard something interesting here. I need to explore this further. So it's good to be prepared. It's good to have an initial starting list, but you certainly want to vary off of that when you want to dig in deeper on something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think often I teach that people we're talking with or eliciting information from have about 20% of specific information. The other 80% we can find someplace else. So the concept of preparation to know what you have an idea of what you want to talk about also lends itself to knowing when you need to dig deeper. You might hear something that you haven't come across in your research or you haven't heard from other conversations. So you know that you need to maybe explore that a little bit more. And that's an important part of this method too, is making sure you have really good elicitation practice and don't waste people's time. No one likes answering questions that you know can be looked up at the internet, for example. And that's a very poor example of analysis techniques when you do give those kinds of questions. So we're going to talk about that and how you can have a better prepared elicitation session.
Can we hear this in action?
Sure.
Could you two maybe explore something together, or I'm happy to be a victim?
Okay.
A subject.
So why don't I will interview you. So what is this project that you're working on? Tell me about one of the recent projects you're working on.
I am. So I will give some context to this conversation. I actually am working on something right now, exploring new avenues of communication with a field force in a financial insurance company. And there's been a request to consider mobile communication.
Okay. So when did you realize that you actually needed to do this project?
Well, there's a list of priorities for 2018, and this is one of them.
Was there some specific event or occurrence that drove this particular thing to get put on that list?
There's some competition that might offer some of this functionality, so we think it's a good idea to probably provide it.
Okay. So what problem do you foresee this particular functionality solving for your organization?
Well, we need to make sure that we're, you know, doing everything that our competitors are and more. So if we don't offer this, we will not be, you know, on par with them. So I think it will help us to, you know, attract more business.
Okay. The nature of being behind with your competitors, do you have any sense for how much business you're losing out on by not having those capabilities?
That's something that we really need to understand. I don't think we do.
Okay. Is there any specific capabilities that you think are the biggest ones that you need to worry about?
Those are really great questions. We're going to have to think about this some more.
And so once you've solved this problem, once you've got these capabilities, how do you know you've been successful? What does tomorrow look like?
People will be able to get all their information they need mobily.
And one of the things that I should mention as we've done this is that Heather has been censoring herself a little bit because this is an actual project she's working on and she didn't want to convey information out. So one of the things that may be helpful, depending on the nature of how you're doing this, is you may, for example, Brandon Dunn, who I got the questions from, actually comes in hand with those discussions with the NDA, a non-disclosure, that he says, you know, to do this in order to ferret that out. So depending on, again, on your situation, that might already be presumed. But that's something that's important, that you have that understanding in place that this conversation is, we need to get this information out, but we're going to take all kinds of the appropriate actions to make sure that it's being protected.
Yeah.
And you can see, though, even though, and I'm not in a position actually to answer those questions, as Kent said, however, the nature of the conversation really changed.
Yeah.
And a person would have to stop and think. They may not have those answers, but it will lend themselves to be thinking, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why is this important? How will this help? It's a great conversation starter to get them to think about, I probably should understand this more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many times in organizations, that's what does happen. There's an idea or a concept or an assumption. We're also going to talk about this. And perhaps that assumption hasn't even been validated.
Yeah.
And we need to explore that. And that's an important step to understanding what that real need is.
Yeah, there is a lot of really efficiently solving the wrong problem.
Did that give you a viewpoint, Shane, into how this can work?
It did. Yeah, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was clear when the question became uncomfortable. So we were chatting earlier about psychological safety. How do you make this questioning safe?
I think part of it is because if you, and actually the way I look at it is, if you're doing it right, you are going to make the person you're talking about uncomfortable. Often because they realize halfway through that discussion, they might realize, I don't really know why we're doing this. Or, well, I had an idea in my head about why we're doing this, but now that I say it out loud, it sounds kind of silly. And so a successful line of questioning might in fact end up being, you know what? This project doesn't make sense now that we think about it. And that is a huge win because you've just saved a ton of time and effort in doing things. Or it provides the chance for the person you're talking to gain much better clarity on what it is they're looking for, which might end up leading you to have a solution that's much easier to get to, process change as opposed to building some completely new product, for example, because they have a much better understanding of what is it actually we're trying to accomplish. Again, that's another I always try to get to. So again, that's where some of those tips handle in. So if you're sensing that there's some discomfort, let there be discomfort, let there be some silence, and let people work through, because they may not have been asked these questions yet.
I think it's really important, too. It goes to just the foundational element of trust. when you're working with someone, you have to let them know that it's safe to share, that your conversation is between you and it's a place of safety, and your purpose is not to make them feel inadequate or to seem as if they don't know what they're talking about. That's not your purpose. Your purpose, you're there to help them have better business outcomes. So however you get there, it's a shared responsibility. But I do think it might be one of those conversations you have to prepare your relationship for a little bit. I mean, it sounds like a silly thing, but that's like a advanced conversation. Your first conversation might not be this level of interrogation. And that can help create safety too.
So for team members in an agile team, we've seen it, you'd almost say that would be the BA, the product owner. How can we use this, or can we use this, down within the team?
So one of the things we're doing with our session tomorrow is we're going to have an example where I always like to use wisdom of the crowds to get myself some free consulting and also to help out the others. And so one example would be is that I'm a big believer that from a coaching stance, you always are coaching from a line of questioning. So as much as possible, don't, when your team is facing a barrier, don't give the team answers, because then you end up owning the problem. Mm-hmm. But instead, get a good line of questioning to talk through and say, okay, again, starting off with what problem is it you're trying to solve, talking about how do we know when we're successful, and guide them through questioning. You might know or might have an idea of how you might approach it, but by going through and asking questions and having them work through it, what you're doing is you're preparing the team that the next time a similar problem rolls around, they'll be much better equipped to solve it themselves.
Yeah, I think it's a practice that every member of the team needs to have. Everyone should be concerned for understanding the real problem. It shouldn't be a single responsibility, and I would guess the more you practice this together, the team will think that way. You'll start to have a Socratic thinking, and then it will become easier to come to that conclusion as well. If you haven't thought about, maybe you've thought about it on your own, you haven't shared it with other people, but having that conversation will become easier because that's just the way you're going to work.
And I have developed a sort of reputation at the Agile Alliance that the other staff members I work with always know that when they suggest some change to the website, they know the next question they're going to get is, well, what problem is it we're trying to solve here? And sometimes they'll actually come with the answer to that.
They're prepared.
They are prepared, yeah.
Cool. Kent, Heather, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. Some interesting and powerful stuff there.
Oh, thank you, Shane.
Thank you.